podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a great day today. A couple things. First of all, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market, bar none. Mention Coach Unplugged and you get $350 off. I'll also mention High School Hoops or Teach Hoops or Coach Collins or, I don't know, Wisconsin Hoops, anything like that. They'll take really good care of you. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking to take your coaching to the next level, which I know all of you are, and that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit with practice planning and all those kind of things. Go over and check out teachhoops.com. You can join our one-on-one calls, our office hours, all of those great resources that are out there for you as a basketball coach to work on your craft. You know, we always tell our boys and our girls, our players, to work on their craft while you should be working on yours. This is going to be a little bit of a series. I'm going to work on series. I'm starting one with what do the best coaches do as far as practice go? And, you know, one of the things that I think, and this is the first one in several steps, and I'm going to kind of do a relative deep dive into this, but the great coaches figure ways to compete in practice. And what do I mean by compete in practice? So first of all, if you know anything about learning or teaching, there are different steps to it. So there is skill in teaching, or drills, right? There's a skill. You have to teach a skill or do some teaching at some point in practice, right? You can't, I guess you could do a flipped basketball practice like you do a flipped classroom, but I think there has to be in practices, there has to be skill-based, there has to be teaching-based. And then there has to be training or reading or learning. And then I believe the third step is there has to be competition. And you can't, we've all seen the coach that will drill, and there'll be no time for reads or no time for actions or training. There'll be no time for competition. There'll be coaches that just talk. Well, I think the best coaches figure a way to put competition in everywhere that you can. Now, you can't put it in everything, but you can try to, you know, in that third step in that progression, you can definitely put in that competitive, that teaching thing. So we try to do that just about in everything that we do. So for example, give you an example of, you know, a basic shooting thing. We'll pair up, hopefully you got an even number of guys on your team, but let's say you have 14 guys. You do seven pairs and, you know, you do a competitive shooting to start practice. You know, maybe you're doing perfect shot. What we refer to as perfect shots. Maybe each of the partners have to each hit two perfect shots from 5 feet. So they're just trying to get their touch. A perfect shot means it's a swish, but it also does not hit the rim. And I always use the analogy that it's similar to golfing. You're trying to just initially get your thing. So, and then at the end, you have a consequence. So you do all seven groups are going, first group to get done. So they're competing with, they're working together in a group. So you're teaching them that relationship and that building, but you're also working on competition. So there's going to be six losers and one winner, competition. There's a natural consequence. If you don't score as many points as you lose. And then we have, you know, we'll do like a couple burpees if you lose, or maybe a couple push-ups or a one-arm push-up or something like that. And then we'll do it. We'll do like a group of four or five of them, right? We'll do, you know, we'll step back to 5, 6 feet and 8 feet and all the way back to 3-point line. We'll keep doing the competition. We'll rotate baskets and there will be a consequence. There is a difference between a consequence and a punishment. So let me explain the difference. These are consequences and it raises the level of the competition. So that's really important for you as a coach to think about that. It does raise the level of the competition. So what is the difference between a consequence and a punishment? Okay. A punishment is brought after an action, right? So you punish your children for missing curfew. You punish your children for not I don't know. I don't do this, but maybe for not cleaning their bedroom, whatever. You know, your kid, your curfew's at 10 and they show up at 11:30. There's a punishment. It's brought in after the action. A consequence is an agreed upon, not agreed upon, because they're never going to agree that they have to do this, but it's an incentive agreed upon, talked about before on the front end. And the natural consequence is that, you know, if you don't score as many points as your opponent, you lose the game. So I think what you do in practice and how you think about it is extremely important. You have to deep dive into the three-step process of, you know, how are you doing skill and teaching? How are you doing reading and training? And how are you doing competition? I think the best coaches always look for ways to deal with competition. Always. Okay. Best coaches are competitive, but they also have competitive practices. So just a couple thoughts for you to think about as you're kind of moving forward. Let me know if there's other things. We'll do some other things with practices and things moving forward, but I definitely wanted to get this out to all of you, and have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.